Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Happy New Year!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Woo! Happy New Year! Would you kindly bless us as you have done in years past by sending wretched stuff, sermon stories, articles, anything wretched, idea@wretched.org. And if you've got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, and I suspect you might, would you kindly text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Michael. Todd, I've been confused on an issue recently. I know I'm saved by faith and not by my merit, but how do I try and do good works without being pharisaical?
Yeah, well, to be a Pharisee would mean that you've changed your theology and you believe that your works are earning you merit. So I suspect you don't mean that. Maybe that I don't confuse that my works are in any way contributing to God's favor on me. There's nothing you can do to increase God's favor. Nothing. And that is what will keep you from being pharisaical. You cannot do things that somehow elevate your status from a C-class Christian to a B or an A-class Christian. You're an A-class Christian. Everybody is. So don't think for a second that your works somehow make you more pleasing to God. To be clear, you can grieve God when you sin, and we can do things that please Him, but there's nothing that your works can do to contribute to your status with God, and let that thought then keep you humble. I think I was reading Ray Comfort. Oh, I wish I had that with me. Ray Comfort wrote a book about 50 years of open-air preaching, what he has learned. And he said one of the things that he does is to not meditate in a kind of way, but to keep him motivated to do the irksome work of evangelism and open-air preaching. He focuses on the majesty and the greatness of God. It humbles him and it motivates him to do hard things, which evangelism and open-air preaching are hard things. Beneficial, huge blessings to so many, but it is a hard thing. So we talked about studying a finch. Apparently he and Sue, they've got some gold finches, and he was just studying them and just studying the bird and the legs and how they're made, and then the little talons and the wings and the feathers and how did all of this happen where the eye blinks and it's lubricated and all of these things, they came together. It's like, God is huge. And it develops a fear of God. It also shrinks us. It makes God big and it makes humans small because we are and He is. So consider the attributes of God, how big He is, how awesome He is, how holy He is. And you'll remember how much you're not. And then you're going to realize that our works, as much as we want them to be glorious for the Lord, they're not all that spectacular by comparison to the things that He does. And that should help you stave off any Pharisaism. And then send stuff, 877-282-2337.
All right.
Okay? Do you need some oxygen in there?
Well, I've been debating this question.
That was a gulp.
I've been debating this question. This is from Eunoia. That's her name, Eunoia. Todd, how should we think about or go about reading the Song of Solomon? How do we use it and know what it all means?
Yeah, that's why would you hesitate on that question?
Well, it's one that has, I don't know,
implications because of the content,
right?
The subject matter. Well, I can tell you this. IHOP has got it completely wrong. The International House of Prayer, which I hope is soon defunct after last year's fiasco, they would teach you that the Song of Solomon is about our relationship with God, including the romantic bits. It's not. First and foremost, it is a story about a man and his wife, how a man and a woman can enjoy one another in intimacy, which is something, Mom and Dad, you might need a little nudge on this, that you teach your kids, be careful that you don't always have conversations about intimacy in the context of icky. It's dirty. Don't you dare. Don't you look at that. How dare you? And okay, you want to help them walk through temptations, but be careful that you don't make sin the key component of sex, that it's just always got to be sinful, because it doesn't have to be. And the Song of Solomon tells us that it is something that should be looked forward to, not fantasized about, but looked forward to, and that should be done with joy because it is a great gift from God. That's what Song of Solomon is about. Simultaneously, it is also about a picture of Jesus Christ and the church without the romantic parts. You say, how do you make that leap? Because in Luke 24, Jesus said that he taught the two disciples on the road to Emmaus about himself in every book in the Bible. That includes the Song of Solomon. And it is a picture of a man and a woman. Ephesians 5 would tell us this is the one who's playing the role of Jesus. She's playing the role of the church. Oh, how they love one another. So it's, in other words, it's a picture of Jesus Christ and his church. And it is an implication that intimate act between a man and a woman, that is nothing but a shadow of a more glorious reality. No, we will not be physically intimate with our Savior, but the intimacy that we will have with him will be better than the physical intimacy we have with our spouses. And that's as far as it goes. IHOP turns it into creepy, and it makes Jesus sound like the boyfriend. And this isn't cliche, like, oh, contemporary worship song. No, it's like, ugh. And we don't want to go that far because that was not its intention. So read the book and let it encourage you about intimacy, and let it give you a greater longing for being with the bride of Christ. It's going to be amazing. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Jessica. Todd, my husband and I have been going to a sound Bible-believing church for the past few months. They are offering membership classes in this month. We want to become members, but we're planning on moving out of state next spring. We want to become members since we're believers and want to serve the local church, but we also want to participate in the Lord's Supper. What should we do since we're moving?
Talk to your pastor. See what he says. I don't think it would be a wasted effort to join the church because it's a reminder we need the church. It is your safe place. You are in danger without the church. So don't go, whatever it is, next spring, this spring, whenever it is, you're without protective cover because you could wander off the reservation and ain't nobody going to come find you because they don't have the authority if you're not a member of a local church. So become one and talk to your pastor about it. And I suspect that he would be quite excited to have you be a member, even if it is for a short term, because then he can also tend to your soul as you leave. You go to your new location, and the church, if you're going to another good church, is going to be contacting your old church to say, everything cool? Are they in good standing? Are they under church discipline? And then membership can simply be transferred unless the new church has some sort of process for it. But it is all about your safety. So I say, if you can, don't go a day without being a member of a local church. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I think that you hit the nail on the head.
It's important.
Yeah.
You're just a sitting duck. So am I, by the way. We all are. That's the whole point. And that's one of, it might be one of the bigger ones, or if not the biggest blessing of a local church. It's that you're safe there. This is one reason that we believe church membership, while it is not stated explicitly in the Bible, you need to become a member of a local church. It's assumed and it's implied. Church discipline is nonsensical if there is not membership. You cannot be removed from what you do not belong. Idea at wretched.com. Todd.org.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, how should Christians, especially Christian women, think about weight loss?
You can't ask me because I'm not a man. A woman. What did I just say? <You're not> a- Oh, boy. Those gummy chewies you gave me for my thinking have not lifted the fog one iota. Isn't that one of the most nonsensical arguments about abortion? You can't talk. Okay, if men cannot talk about abortion, then ladies, sorry, you can't be a football commentator. Uh-huh. How do you like them apples there? How should you think about weight loss? I would think of one word, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the tyranny of being a size 4. If you want to be a size 4, you knock yourself out. If you are a size 4, congratulations. But don't let the world tell you that somehow you are inferior if you're not. Those standards are arbitrary. We seek to be pleasing to our God. Should we keep our temples fit? Yeah, I think it's a good rule that you try your best to keep your body in a similar kind of state that it was in when you said, I do. But it doesn't, to pretend that our bodies aren't going to be affected with age and gravity is ridiculous. They are, and you should strive to take care of your temple, but please don't live under the tyranny of the world. That is how I think we should think about weight loss. But I'm not a... What am
I? You're not a man.
Right. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now, always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Big news from Fortis. As you know, we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at FortisPlus.org. Now we're adding someone incredible to the mix, our very first fellowette. Starting February 7th, Libby Glosson, one of the finest biblical counselors in the country, will be joining the team. She'll be doing a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. Not because we're trying to check some type of box, but because she's that good. See what I mean? February 7th at FortisPlus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. Maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless.
Young man, you need to be learning the Bible. Yes, you got to learn your trade, and yes, you need to be learning what you're learning in school. But ultimately, we want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. It's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word from Jimmy Hicks.
Which one?
You.
Which word, though?
Oh, I see. Well, how many words are you getting? This is Wretched Radio. What you were just telling me, you wanted the tens and tens of people to know.
Yes. So the Beep Talk text line, that you can text your questions in, but I can't answer you back. It's a one-way text line. So you send us your questions, but we can't communicate back and forth via text.
And you're so thoughtful, you don't want anybody to think you're rude.
Right.
It's pride, Jimmy. It's pride. You've got a fear of man, and it's pride.
That's it.
See, I've been reading too many biblical counseling books. Please don't. But same thing with emails. I don't think we miss emails. It's just getting back to everybody just gets it. It would be like a full-time gig. And as much as we love that, we recognize our limitations as a ministry. And that is a very good thing, by the way. A ministry that thinks it's the end-all, be-all. Look out! We serve the local church. So if you ever feel like it would be so great to interact with somebody, we would point you to your local church. That's the place. That's the place for long-term healing, the long-term growth that you desire. It's in the context of your local church. And if you think, by the way, that it would be maybe damaging to your relationship with your pastor because he knows you and we're just doing texting, so it's a little bit anonymous, I can assure you there is nothing that you have done, nothing that you are thinking that is going to shock a pastor. Not a guy who's been a pastor for more than 3, maybe 4 minutes. You're just not going to cause him to go, whoa, what is that? They understand sin because they're sinners too. And they know their own hearts and they've heard about other people's hearts. So you can unburden yourself with them and let them help you in the long term. We'll do everything that we can on our end to assist. We'll do everything to provide resources. We will do everything that we can to bring as many good people to you as possible. And we obviously believe that that is fruitful, but we ain't nowhere near as good as your local church. And I'm going to toss this one in for free. Hopefully it's not to toot our own horn. But if you're dealing with a parachurch ministry that does not share that attitude, probably not a good parachurch ministry. If they ain't about the local church, if they don't bow to the local church, if they don't do everything they can to seek to help the local church, well, just say you're rolling the dice at best. So please keep on texting and we'll do our best to respond here at Wretched Radio. It's 877-282-2337. Jimmy, was that kind of like a compliment to ourselves? If those ministries don't have our standards, then they're not very... I didn't intend it for that, but I'm earnest in that.
I didn't take it that way.
I'm earnest. Well, not like, you know, the character that's kind of a goofball. I mean it. The local church, it is so everything for your life. It really is everything for you. We're ancillary. We're support. We're help. We're an encouragement. We want to provide stuff for churches. And we want to support churches so that the sheep always have a really safe and wonderful place to go, because that is God's ordained means for your hyper growth. The local church.
So if you're earnest, does that make me Vern?
I never watched those movies.
Did you not?
No, I didn't. Hilarious. They were a little Southern for me.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why I
relate. You know, I don't know if I've told the South lately, but I love you. I really love living here. I was getting out of the car. It was December. I think it was right before Christmas, and it was like 65 degrees. Oh, that's nice. Because I'm telling you, the cold, man, Scylla, when we are back in Minnesota, it is like somebody is attacking us with 1,000 daggers. Just stop the cold. It hurts. It just plain herds. I don't know what that phenomenon is. Yes, I do. It's called getting older. Alrighty then. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Isaiah. He texted in, Todd, do you use the same confrontation with people when you aren't filming or recording as you do when you are?
Confrontation.
All right.
Could we maybe choose a different word? I know what you mean, though. How do you engage with somebody?
Right. He says, my biggest problems are striking up conversations with people at random. Sometimes I think it would be a lot easier if I could interview them on the radio.
You know, I think that I'd be willing to debate you that it's perhaps easier to do it without a microphone and a camera crew. People can be like, whoa, not interested. I don't want to talk to you. A lot of people these days are scared that they might say something that could be recorded, put up on YouTube, and then they'll never get hired. So it doesn't make it a breeze if you've got recording equipment and TV cameras and that stuff. Some people might be attracted to that, but a lot of people are repelled. Furthermore, I don't see talking to somebody. Now, like when we go out to campus, we're on a mission. And we know that, and we've got limited time, and that's the intended purpose. But that's just not how I feel when I walk around or go out to shop. I'm aware of any opportunities, but all I wanted to do, and this is okay, this is going to sound worse than when I was being earnest about other ministries. I just want to love people. That's it. Just be nice to folks, chat with them, show interest in their lives. That's what I do when I go out of the, and I don't even think about it. It's just the way I feel. And with that, I can't tell you how many times I can witness to somebody because it just leads to that. Or it just, you can just direct it, just nudge it just a little bit and you're there. And I would encourage you to, this will maybe sound weird, but don't see people as an evangelistic mark. Just see them as somebody. Okay, so I grabbed Ray's book, 50 Years of Open Air Preaching. It has a wonderful endorsement in the front by a Todd Fryall of TV Radio, because we want to learn from Ray. He's been doing this for 50 years. In fact, this will be an ode to Ray Comfort. Let me read the foreword that I wrote. Ray Comfort is on the Mount Rushmore of open air preachers. Well, there's not a lot to choose from, but nevertheless, he's right up there. No single individual has had more impact on open-air preaching and evangelism in the last century than Ray Comfort. That has been his contribution. Ray is, and he would hate this if he were hearing, he would hate this. On his 75th birthday, I sent him a nice text just to encourage him and let him know what a blessing that he has been in my life and how he has helped me so much in so many ways by modeling godliness. And he sends back a video of him witnessing to somebody in Santa Monica because he just deflect. But he is a giant. He has had a huge impact and it's been so good. Why wouldn't we want to learn from a modern day giant? His hard-earned wisdom will equip you with everything you need to know about sharing the gospel in the open air. When it comes to open-air preaching and evangelism, no one has more road miles than Ray Comfort. Glean from his wisdom, then hit the streets. But maybe you go out with like 20 tracks and you're like, I got to give away 20 tracks. Don't do that. Don't put that on yourself. It just forces it to become manipulative. You've got something amazing. Go give it away. And if it's just with one person, cool. Great big victory. All right. So let me just see here. I was really struck. All right, the first just shows pictures of Ray preaching back at doing open air Christ Church. Huge crowds gathering. He preached over 3,000 times in the open air. And chapter 2, preparing your heart and mind. It's all about getting your heart ready, dealing with fear. So here we go. The fear we feel when it comes to sharing our faith is real, but irrational. If we were going to be burned at the stake for being a Christian, thrown to hungry lions, our fear would make sense, but it is nevertheless a real fear, and it can paralyze us if we listen to it. So how can we just ignore it? Imagine you see a 4-year-old child fall into an icy swimming pool. sure, you would ignore any thought of the cold water and immediately dive in because you're thinking of something infinitely more important than your comfort. The life of a human being. That's the mentality you and I must have with evangelism. We need to forget about how our flesh feels and instead think about what awaits people if they die in their sins. How would you and I describe the character of a person who could stand at the edge of the pool and let the kid drown because the water was too cold? We need to apply that to evangelism. We got to remember the fate of the ungodly and then remember, I think even more than the fate of the ungodly, how much pressure would I have to put on you to have you go out and give away $1 million indiscriminately? Just pass, give it to whoever you want. Would you say, nah, you know, I'm not really good with people. I want you to give away $1 million. You know, I've seen people get upset with people sometimes when they approach them in public. I don't think that would happen at all. You'd be like, what? Cool. Bingo. We got something better than $1 million. That's how we should go. That's what should motivate us. The fear of the Lord? Yes. The fear of the fate of the ungodly? Yes. But the amazing privilege to share such wonderful news and see somebody's life and eternity changed, that will help you start a conversation that isn't confrontational. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.